Now, the next step, of course, would be automatic ground collision. If the autopilot levels you off in level flight and you're flying in Kansas, probably not a problem. But if it does that at Minden, Nevada, where I live, it could or could not be a problem. If you're in the valleys and not headed towards the Sierra, you're probably okay. But the next thing, of course, is automatic ground collision avoidance. And the military actually has done quite a bit with that recently. F-16s, F-35s, and so on have been lost over the years because the pilot lost consciousness because of over-G, G-lock, we call it. And basically, an F-16, an F-35, if it detects that the pilot stops making inputs and the airplane's on a vector where it's going to hit the ground, the autopilot will actually take off, level off the airplane, and avoid the ground collision. And that would be the next step on this level button. Wild cards in the future of aviation. You know, there's a lot going on with these electric pods that are being designed to carry people from one point to another. You know, people like Google and Uber and so on are investing a lot of money. The challenge there, I think, is going to be noise. You know, Berkeley apparently just banned the installation of new hookups for natural gas in new construction in Berkeley. And you can bet those guys, if they have a whole bunch of these air taxi things flying around at 500 feet to 1,000 feet making noise, that they'll ban those too. So you know, for those of you that are working on these electric things, really consider the noise. You know, having a noise profile that's less than a helicopter may not be good enough. Your noise profile may have to be equal to a car, which is really draconian. Of course, you never know what the regulators and politicians are going to do. You know, things like a privatization of the air traffic control system could be bad. And then, of course, you've got your ambulance chasers. But the bottom line is, I think the future will involve a lot of electrics. It will have a lot of automation involved. And hopefully this additive manufacturing can really drive down, especially with some of the materials that are potentially coming out there, drive the cost down to the point where there is enough production that we have some economy of scale and we can make flying affordable. Because again, the bottom line is, you know, one of the presenters, they talked about the people being reticent to get proficiency training. Well, the challenge there is, if it's really expensive to get proficiency training, people are going to be more reticent than if it's relatively cheap. You know, some of these electric airplanes are talking about, you know, $3 to $4 worth of electricity per flight hour. You know, if you drive the cost down to that point, then there's no real excuse to not go fly a lot. So focus on safety, cost, and efficiency, and try to keep it simple. And now, Airbus has been great to the Perlin project, and of course, so we're here tonight because of Airbus. You know, Airbus is celebrating their 50th anniversary, and you know, of course, EAA is celebrating 50 years here at Osh. Airbus has a short video that I'll play to talk about the history of Airbus.
Thank you again, Jim, for your insights and vision for the future and many of the issues and opportunities that we'll see ourselves in experimental and amateur-built and general aviation aircraft. And again, to Amanda, thank you to Airbus for being here to sponsor the Founders Innovation Prize. Before we bring our contestants back out, the judges did provide some honorable mentions. We had over 30 submissions this fourth year of the Founders Innovation Prize, and we thought that two of them especially deserved mention. The first was the Holdfast system, which was submitted by Andrew Anunson. Airplanes large and small have had hundreds of crashes that were caused by doors or canopies opening in flight. Aircraft pilots have a high workload during the takeoff and landing phases when the airplane is close to the ground, and an improperly latched door or canopy can pop open during these high workload times. The opening distracts the pilot, who then tries to correct the distraction, and it's this distraction and refocusing of workload priorities that often causes it to crash. From 1982 to 2016, distractions due to doors or canopies opening in flight have resulted in 216 general aviation loss of control accidents and 96 fatalities. Just like an automobile hatchback or minivan tailgate, many aircraft doors or canopies have gas struts that hold the door open while parked on the ground. By replacing the stock gas strut with a hold-fast gas strut, the door will stay open while on the ground, but will be locked in flight. The door canopy won't accidentally open, even if the pilot forgot to latch it correctly. The simple change of door hardware will eliminate the common occurrence of doors or canopies opening in flight. By reducing this distraction, loss of control accidents will be decreased. Feedback. This is from the judges. This proposal addressed a very specific area of loss of control accidents, the canopy or door opening in flight emergency. 212 general aviation accidents have been attributed to the scenario since 1982, and the use of the hold-fast system provides a passive safety mechanism to prevent these accidents. Very well tested, presented, and designed. And then aeropilot dynamics, and this submission was by Glenn Heisert. Aviation studies show that the heart rate variability, the HRV, associates physiology with adverse pilot mental states, error and fatality that attributes loss of critical flight information that's necessary for safety of flight. When pilot capacity to adapt is exhausted, fatality occurs. This means that the pilot's internal adaptive mechanisms are at the core and suggests a safety hygiene solution that addresses pilot inner capacity, power, and resiliency, thrust, available to either adapt and prevent LOC or to recover regardless of the cause, self, weather, or equipment. Aeropilot dynamics is a core hygiene solution that links heart rate variability conditioning that produces higher tone output of the vagus nerve and the parasympathetic nervous systems as measured by HRV training to higher cognitive executive performance and emotion effect in the brain's prefrontal cortex, neurovisceral integrated through the central autonomic network. It is designed as a ground-based pilot self-training that's accessible at a commercially available portable HRV training device equipment cost of about $200. This approach is rooted to primary research by the author completed under joint NASA Coast Guard Tripler Army conditions that found significantly higher pilot performance after experimental pilot physiological self-recognition techniques were tested in flight on HC-130 fixed wing and HH-65 helicopter pilots under high stress demand scenarios about 30 years ago. Aeropilot dynamics derives from the updating the primary research to new science and technology that was completed by graduate research for academic peer review. This new works produce a series of HRV models from statistical regression analysis that interpreted the heart rate variability, the change in the heart's beat-to-beat interval, to predict pilot performance and fatality, and found HRV showed significant relationships with extremely high confidence and reliability. Further interpretation linked HRV to LOC fatality and supports HRV physiology training to mitigate LOC occurrence. Aeropilot dynamics training is designed for that purpose. For added effect, this method is a fusion of pilot HRV training with aerodynamics and pilot cockpit dynamics, triangulated at the pilot's adaptive core for efficiency to LOC. Feedback from the judges. This was a very intriguing idea in the training area of interest, focusing on the physiology of the pilot's heart rate variability. HRV is associated with mental states, error, and fatality in multiple studies. This concept is to use a specialized training routine to teach pilots to control their heart rate variability. The higher the HRV, the better a pilot's attention to capacity, working memory, and ability to handle stresses in the cockpit. And the smartphone app provides training to the individuals that improves HRV. So those are our honorable mentions, and thank you again for all of those submissions. We would like now to bring our contestants back to the stage. And Charlie, you have the floor.
Thank you, Heather. Great job. I appreciate your leading us through this. We made it to a decision. We had a little bit of fisticuffs in the back room, but we got there. you know, looking back at the criteria of expected effectiveness, ease of installation, and expected low cost, I think we've got some submissions here that, that hit very well on those notes. And we're very encouraged by how quickly some of these could get installed by anyone when they get home. So that's very encouraging. And in fact, as you look forward into the future, some of these could be combined into integrated systems to make them even better. So great job by all of you, and congratulations on your presentations and your efforts to get to where we are tonight. So we're ready to go. Okay, we're going to start with the third place winner. And third place tonight goes to the stick grip, the Field Flight Grip. Our second place winner tonight is the Situation Awareness Trainer. Congratulations. Okay, drum roll. Okay, and without further ado, our first place winner tonight is Buzzball.
All right, thank you. Yes, excellent.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And our fourth and fifth place winners, of course, you'll be eligible for the contest again next year. This enhanced envelope exercises and enhanced scenario-based training. Congratulations to both of you. Thank you. Okay, Amanda, would you like to say a few words?
I want to thank you all for attending tonight. It's really dark out there, so I don't know if there's two people or 200, but it's very, very important that we continue to press forward. Loss of control is a serious issue, and as these fine gentlemen have demonstrated, we are indeed trying to take action to come up with techniques and products that are going to reduce the fatalities. So Airbus is very pleased to be part of this and to sponsor it, and we're looking forward to more working with you all in the future on the further development of your capabilities. So thank you all.
And thank you to Airbus once again for your participation. Thank you very much.